This is Bearable. COL Media presents A Cubs Out Loud Holiday Storytime. Three holiday stories to jack off to. Story 1, Snowbound, by Bill Snyder. Read by Damon. From 100% Beef, Issue 1, published April 2002.
Maybe it was the snow. Maybe it was the cold. Maybe I was just sick and tired of being indoors for days on end. Whatever it was, I was feeling adventurous, looking for some trouble. It was the end of January. The hour-long drive through the mountains from Portland to the coast would give me plenty of time to troll for another horny soul. Hell, there had to have been other guys like me out there, sick of watching football and horny for a good rubdown. I had driven about an hour and was just about to clear the snow-covered mountains. The storm had just dumped about 5 inches of fresh snow on the roadway, but I wasn't worried. My 4x4 Blazer could get me through without any problems, I figured. Hell, we've had bigger storms than that, and I've never gotten stuck. Damn! Every fucking time I start feeling cocky about something, it happens. I hit a patch of ice under the fresh snow, did a 180-degree turn, and backed down over the edge of the road. What the hell did I hit? I asked myself. I climbed down out of the truck and into the roadside snow, which was about 4 feet deep. Needless to say, the ass end of my Blazer was down in the snow, buried to the rear windows. Shit, I thought to myself. Now what the hell am I going to do? I could feel the snow melting into my warm crotch. It was like a cold sponge shrinking my balls. My hard-on disappeared. Traffic had been extremely light. Only an idiot like me would get the bright idea to go out cruising for ass in this shitty weather. Luckily, I had flares in a Blazer. I lit them and set them on the front end, which was sticking out into the highway. After what seemed like hours, a highway patrol approached. This could be good, I thought to myself, imagining a real-life dramatization of my cop fantasy. As he stepped out of his patrol car, my hot heart sunk and my dick went soft. Again. Damn it! Cops are supposed to be beefy, sexy, hung, and horny. This cop could have stopped clocks. He was ugly, short-tempered, and curt. He called for a tow truck on the radio. When the tow truck arrived, he promptly pulled the Blazer out of the drift, and after examining it, noticed I had broken a strut on the right front wheel. He offered to tow the Blazer to the Chevy dealer about 20 miles away, which, unfortunately, wouldn't be open till morning. The cop drove me to a motel restaurant at the base of the hill. He dropped me off, and off he went, without so much as a good luck, fuck you, or anything. There was one lonely waitress working at the restaurant. The cook had gone home, and she had one other customer sitting in the corner eating leftover meatloaf. I hope you don't need a room at the motel. Everything is sold out, she said to me. She was also the hotel manager. I explained my situation to her and got only understanding and a worn smile in return. Shit, I said to myself. Again. The customer in the corner, who had barely noticed, was a husky guy, probably in his late 30s or early 40s, dark beard with salt and pepper hair. He had an enormous mustache. He wasn't bad looking, I thought to myself, as I strained to look without appearing as though I was looking. He noticed me looking at him and nodded at me. As the waitress fixed me a ham sandwich and coffee, he introduced himself as Ed. "Sorry to hear about your car, buddy," he said. Hey, if you don't mind sleeping on couch or the floor, you're welcome to bunk in my cabin. It's about a mile up from here, and you have to do some walking. The thought of a warm, dry place to sleep sounded so good to me at this point. The mile-long walk was a small price to pay. I was so tired. I could have slept on a bed of nails at this point. He also offered to drive me into town the next morning to the Chevy dealer to pick up my car. In my mind, I was hoping he at least had a hot shower. We parked his truck, and up the path we trudged to his cabin. As we entered, I got the distinct sense that a woman also lived here. "Your wife is?" I inquired. "Ex-wife. She's in Mexico with her family," he explained without looking at me. He then dutifully showed me the bathroom. He explained that the shower was not working, but that there was a natural hot spring right out the back door if I'd like to get in, clean up, and warm up. "Man, that sounds great," I told him. My Levi's were soaked to the skin, and the walk up the cabin had chilled me to the bone. Yeah, that's right. That bone. He then started preparing a place for me to sleep on the sofa. As he pulled off his flannel shirt, I couldn't help but notice that Ed was covered with body hair. He even had hair on his back, which matched in color and thickness to the beautiful salt and pepper of his exaggerated mustache. I could feel my nuts starting to tingle, and I had to intentionally look away to keep from staring. I slipped out of my clothes and onto the back stoop and right into the hot spring. God, it felt so good. The steam rose around me into the cold night air, and hot water caused my cock to swell. "Mind if I join you?" I heard Egg's voice behind me. "Sure, come on in. The water's hot," I said, turning around for a better look at him. As Ed stepped out of the back door, I could see only the backlit silhouette of a nicely built man. Stocky, muscular, with a thick halo of fur body hair surrounding his shoulders, arms, and legs. I couldn't see the front of him, except for the bat-lick outline of his big balls hanging down between his legs as he strolled over to the hot spring. With a quick lurch, he slid in just as I had, and I could feel his body sliding towards me in the water. "Whoa, sorry about that, buddy. I gotta salt down that deck a little later. It's getting pretty slick," he said as he landed with one leg under my arm and the other over my shoulder. Behind the apology, I noticed the panic on his face. Then we both laughed. "No problem, man," I assured him. "Come on over here." I looked at him. He looked at me. First with confusion, then with mischievous grin that made my balls bounce in their sack. He moved slightly closer, and we both resisted the temptation to touch each other for as long as we could. Several moments passed as we visually drank in each other's faces, chest, eyes. The air was tense, and a layer of testosterone floated above the water with the steam. "Who's going to make the first move?" I thought to myself. And then I thought, fuck it. What's he going to do? Send me back to the motel? I reached towards him under the water while looking into his eyes. When I reached his crotch, he had a hard-on that was growing and pulsing in my hand. He stood up. I let my tongue roll out, swiped his balls. He let out a moan and moved closer. I could see growing in front of my nose a beautiful 7-inch uncut piece of meat. Again, I leaned forward and swallowed his meat all the way to the back of my throat, burying my face in his thick black pubic bush. I could feel that uncut cock being pushed deeper into my throat, the foreskin sliding back, allowing the head to slip even deeper. My tongue and throat muscles massaged this beauty, and the musty taste of pre-cum teased my taste buds. Ed grabbed my head and began fucking my face, his 7 inches now enlarged to 8 or more. I could feel the head slipping in and out of his foreskin into my throat, like a lubricated piston. He was mumbling and moaning under his breath and seemed on the brink of coming much faster than I wanted him to. I reached around behind him and held his big, hairy ass cheeks in my hands. As he thrusted his uncut cock deeper down my throat, I slipped one finger slowly into his hole. He moaned something under his breath, and his sphincter sucked my finger deeper and deeper as I reached for his prostate. He held my head down on his dick, forcing me to struggle for even a breath of air. His cock was deep in my throat, and I suddenly felt his cum pushing its way up the length of his long, hard rod. Then, with a low, guttural moan which grew to a primeval growl, he forced his uncocked rod deep down my throat, held me there for a few seconds, motionless, and shot. Massive ropes of hot, sweet, musty cum forced their way down my throat. I swallowed again and again. It just seemed to keep coming and coming. When his bucking subsided, he released a tight hold on my head and I breathed deeply, pulling huge gulps of fresh air into my lungs. His cock slipped out of my mouth and a last long, thick string of cum fell into my beard. He relaxed back into the water, knelt between my legs and kissed me. Tasting his cum and licking the remnants of his turbulent blast off my beard and mustache with his tongue. His tongue then probed the depths of my mouth and throat, and I sucked on it as I had his uncut cock. "Yeah," he mumbled, holding my face in his hands. He then laid back, wrapping his legs around my waist. He aimed my cock towards his ass, pulling me easily into his warm asshole. He was going to ride my cock, I thought, right there in the hot springs, out in the night mountain air. My cock was no more into him than the muscles of his ass started milking me. I leaned over him, and our open mouths met hard and eagerly. "Oh, yeah," he muttered again, as he opened his mouth wide and put out his tongue. We kissed deeply while his asshole continued working its milking magic on my dripping cock until I could wait no longer. I'm gonna. I stammered out of breath on the brink of exploding. "You're gonna shoot that big load of cum right up inside my hairy asshole. That's what you're gonna do, isn't it?" he said to me, holding my face by my beard and staring deeply into my eyes. As our mouths closed around one another again, I made one final push and felt the sperm starting to flow. He held me close and kept his tongue inside my mouth as I moaned deeply. Spasm after spasm rocked my body as I sent several long strings of cum into his hairy ass. After a few minutes, we both collapsed into the water. Without speaking, Ed then dried himself off before offering me a towel. We went inside the cabin. "You'll sleep with me tonight," he said, pointing towards the bed near the fireplace. We slept, arms wrapped around each other, all night long. When I woke, it was still dark outside. I could feel his warm, uncut cock nestled between my ass cheeks, where he had insisted upon nuzzling it when we went to sleep hours earlier. I twitched my muscles and felt him growing. His pre-cum was slippery, and without warning, He slowly started working his cock inside me. He moaned something into my ear and nibbled on the back of my neck as he fucked me deeper with each thrust. I really wanted to swallow his thick load again, but I could tell from the shortness of his breaths on my neck that he was close to coming again. He shoved his cock as deep as he could, moaned softly, and I felt his hot load spewing into my butt. He pulled his cock out, rolled me over into a 69 position, and shoved it, still semi-hard, deep down my throat. "There you go. Clean it off and suck the last few drops out of there," he whispered to me. When I had sucked it to his satisfaction, he maneuvered himself over me, digging his own load out of my twitching asshole with his tongue, pushing it in deeper and deeper each time. He ran his cock down, his tongue down over my cock, and as he put my cock into his mouth, he ran his finger up my ass. He stoked my prostate, forcing my cock to erupt again. Ed looked up to me and smiled, as long white ropes of cum dripped from his salt and pepper mustache. We again collapsed into each other's arms and fell asleep. When we awoke about 10 o'clock, he drove me into town to get my blazer. We exchanged addresses and phone numbers. 2 weeks later, I stopped by his cabin on my way to the beach. It was empty. I walked around back to the hot spring and got a hard-on just thinking about our night out there. I went to the restaurant and motel where we had met. The waitress said she had a note for me from Ed. It read, "I have to go away for a while, but I'll be back soon. When I return, I will look you up. I know, and I'm ready for you." I smiled as I walked to my truck.
Story 2, Santa's Sackful, by Bob Condren, read by Jeffrey, from Bear Issue 46, published October 1997. Dublin City Center wasn't just mad, it was bedlam. Christmas comes but once a year, thank Kevin. The streets overflowing with last-minute shoppers, out-of-towners, and immigrants home for the holidays. The crowd of us poured out of Brulee's Coffee House onto Grafton Street, and we were overwhelmed by a tidal wave of noise and activity. Shop windows aglow with all of their Christmas finery. "Mammy!" cried some protesting child. "Ma!" as she was dragged by the hand through the crowds. A gentle lacy snowfall filtered down from the heavens, and saying our farewells, I turned up my coat collar against the chill wind and braced myself to forge a path homeward. Pressing through the crowd between drunken laughter and rabid chatter, I suddenly stopped. A voice caught my ear, bass baritone and sweet as a nut, singing Silent Night, wafting over me like perfume, like musk, a fragrance ripe from the promise of a wonderful life. My chin lifted from my collar while straining to see a beard and sparkling eyes. There, spotlit under an amber streetlight, stood the archetypal Father Christmas, 6 feet plus, a hooded coat circled at the waist by a thick leather belt, red breeches tucked into calf-length black leather boots. Close-cropped, snowy white hair grew low on his forehead. A thick beard grew high on his rosy cheeks, topped by a big walrus mustache curled at the ends, singing for some charity. Drawn as to a siren song, I edged toward him, my shoes crunching and sliding on the carpet of snow. Filled with the spirit of the season, and influenced not by a little of his magnetic presence, I handed over a fiver. I addressed him, "Father Christmas?" A meaty paw plucked the note from my fingers. He said, "Thank you kindly, son," with a voice as dark and rich as Christmas pudding. I felt my knees buckle at the play of his eyes and his hot breath billowing in my face. He brushed against my heavy carrier bags and, without breaking our gaze, asked, "And what would you be wanting for Christmas this time of year?" "No, let me guess," His smile was so white as his hair. Perfect teeth with a cute little gap in front up top. Dazzling white. I believe I have just the thing. Have you been a good boy all year? My face flushed as I smiled bashfully. Yeah, always good. Then I'll see what I can do, he chuckled. I looked him up and down, thinking, if only. He answered as if he read my thoughts. If you've been a good boy, I'm obligated to give you what you want. It's my job, to grant the desires of your heart. His eyes never left mine, never stopped smiling. I gave him a quizzical look. Come, fly with me, he replied with a wink. Just put your arm around me shoulder and hold tight. Crazy, yet without faltering, I hooked myself around him and was swept up in an icy gust. In the moment, I felt how a robin might feel, held by the wind. Someone called out, "Your shopping bags!" But I only heard this fading into the distance. I was awakened by a rushing, like the spray of a waterfall. My face on his shoulder was dusted with snowflakes. His massive hands held me tightly. His bass tone murmured beside me, inside me. Whispering, singing, humming, laughing. Suddenly, I was in a cave. His cave. Head back on fur pillows. Fur rugs under me, around me, over my naked body. My clothes were in a heap alongside. No recollection of being stripped bare. A crackling fire in one corner and opposite, lit by a blaze, a mountain of presence. I rubbed my sleepy eyes and heard murmuring noises still. Then, twinkling eyes. Santa sank down on the edge of the makeshift bed, dumping a sack of goodies beside him. He smiled down upon me, and he remained silent for a moment. Finally, he asked, "What's your name, son?" "Michael. Mick. Mick O'Connor."
"And you know who I am?"
"Yeah, you're the man that's on the front of Christmas cards, aren't you?" He chuckled.
"Father Christmas, son. But you can call me Daddy."
He turned and dipped into the big bag of presents.
"Now, let's see. What do we have here?"
The first gift he produced brought tears to my eyes. "Tommy, my beloved teddy bear. I've had him with me always. He even rode with me in my pram. That's how I'd lost him. Saturday shopping, somehow I lost him. Mammy bought me any number of replacements, but I was inconsolable. Now, after all these years, he was once again being clutched to my chest. The appearance of the second present made my eyes water for completely different reasons. A giant double-ended dildo. Long and fat and heavily veined, Santa's fingers barely met as he held it around the circumference. The third gift, a giant tube of lube.
"And this, just for starters, my boy," he said.
I must have winced because he let out a roar of laughter whilst his eyes grew even more kindly.
"Now, don't you worry about the thing," he cooed, yanking off one big boot. "I'll loosen you up gently."
He cupped the bulge in his pants.
"First, I'll give you what you really want, young fellow."
Off came the second boot. With his red coat pulled apart, he looked like a big birch sofa. Curly white hair smothered his skin, barrel chest, muscular arms, and broad back. Big paws unbuckled the belt and pulled it through the hoops. Trousers dropped down over powerful thighs and a big, fuzzy, chunky butt. Lifting a knee to tug the trousers off, a clump of chalky hair peeked out from his spreading crack. My cock was up and pulsing against the fur blanket. A delicious friction produced a tickling sensation deep within my sizzling, uncooked hole. I was mesmerized by his pendulous balls as they swung between his legs, by the rhythmic twitching of his stiffening cock. The strawberry head blushed crimson atop a colossal ivory column. Hoisted aloft, transparent globs of goo began to dribble from the puckered eye, then ran down the underside of his cosh. Glistening balls ballooned low in his pouch with thirst-quenching promise. Rising up from somewhere deep in my bowels, a groan escaped my lips. He stroked my forehead.
"Shh, shh, it's okay. It'll be worth it, I swear."
Leaning forward as if to kiss me, he brought the full wet width of his tongue to lick my face from bottom to top.
Breaking the tension, I giggled like a child. His whiskers rubbed through my own. My lips searched for, then sucked on his mustache. The same big, wet tongue poked and probed its way into my mouth and stretched back almost to the tonsils. My fingers gripped and clung to the hair on his back. He ripped the fur rug off me and, flinging it to one side, brought his full weight down upon me. Parting my legs, he ground his hips against mine. I hadn't believed in Father Christmas since I was maybe 5 or 6. All the magic was gone once Derek Byrne put me straight on the subject. He made me feel like the butt of some horrible joke. 20-odd years had come and gone since then, only to find out he lied to me. Santa Claus did exist. It was impossible to deny his existence as he pinned me on my back. I felt cheated. I felt like getting my own back. "I can't fuck you, Father Christmas," I whimpered, jerking back my head. "Call me Daddy." "No, no, I can't." "Call me Uncle Chris, then," he replies. "No, no, me mammy told me not to talk to men like you." I tried to wrestle him off. "Let me go, I don't want to." "Why, you little bastard, I'll break your fucking neck." The gentle giant thundered into action, leaping up to pin my arms on either side of my head with his knees. "I'll not take no for a fucking answer." Santa drew his baton to my lips and waved it menacingly. "Please, Uncle Chris, please don't make me do it," I blubbered in an Oscar-winning performance, quickly followed up with a broad grin. "You," he smeared the oozing tip round and around my lips. "You little bastard." He grinned and stuffed his roast beef down my gullet. "That should stop you fucking whining." It did too. It acted as a comforter. Hooking his fingers behind my head, he rocked gently backward and forward, slowly building up steam. I couldn't help but gag and gulp whilst pleading within my eyes, but to no avail. He was insistent in his need of relief. On and on, sliding in deeper. "I'm fucking mad into you, Michael, fucking mad into you." His words resonated against the granite walls, his clanging buttocks reverberating against my chin. "Take it easy, do you hear me? Relax." Then he abruptly withdrew, slapping me playfully about the face with his Christmas log. A little annoyed, I raised my head to flick it with my tongue, but he gripped me gently by the ears and restrained me. "Wait," he bid me, wide-eyed mockingly. "What's your hurry?" With fingers and thumb, he nipped the base so that the glistening bulbous head and rock-solid poll bloated to perfection. "Isn't it a beauty?" He teased, holding it just out of reach. "Beautiful, eh? Smell it." He stuck it under my nose and I inhaled it to capacity, my head swimming. "Makes your mouth water, don't it, you little whore?" Again, I strained my mouth toward it. "Wait," he demanded once again. Then his face cracked into a big grin. "Bet you can't wait till Santa comes." I nodded furiously, admiring his own pretentious erection. He sat on his free hand and lovingly caressed his succulent shaft, delighted in my adoration, then benevolently restoring the full length down my aching throat. "Stuffing your stocking. Oh, fuck, I'm gonna come down your chimney." Once again, he quickly reestablished his rhythm, up to the tip, down to the base. "Let me fucking cram your stocking full of bursting. Empty me big ball stack of goodies into ya." His organ swelled to a crescendo whilst I tooted like a maestro. "Yeah, suck it, you little cum bucket. Drag deep, drain it out. That's a good wee fella." And then the groaning voice built quickly from a gentle rumbling to a bellowing howl. "Suck it now, Michael, suck it, suck. I'm coming, young Michael. Coming now, get ready. Oh, get ready, wee Mick. Here it comes, me boy. Coming now. Yes, fucking yes." A blast of thick, pungent sperm punched my tonsils, pummeling against the back of my own throat. Then once more and once again, spurt upon thick, luscious spurt, my lips held tight, squeezing every last drop from his pleasure dome and gulping it down. His huge body quivered, racked with pleasure, moaning in rhythm
with each fervent aftersuck. Santa groaned aloud at each thrust of my tongue as it probed into his pisslet, lapping up the last precious honey-sweet drops. His laughter caused a resounding echo, pleased with himself, pleased with me. He rolled off my chest and lay down beside me. Cradling me in his arms, he began to sing. Jingle bells, Rudolph smells, Prancer's a disgrace. Much more fun it is to run on a horny fucker's face. Oh! He chuckled and clasped my knob in his hairy mitt, sliding the foreskin backward and forward purposely. My toes curled and my thighs stiffened. He sure knew how to work my dauber. Looks like a wee bit sore, all red and swollen. Maybe I should return the favor. And he was up and on his knees. First time his open mouth encased my cockhead, I quivered like jelly on a plate. His expert technique drove me to distraction and beyond. Depraved would have been more accurate. My fingers found his still moist cockhead, then slithered a snail's trail around to his hairy hole. One digit teased the opening, drawing circles, feeling his tender ring pulse at my touch, then voluntarily opened to give access. One, then two fingers, then a third and a fourth digit, slipped into the second knuckle with minimal effort. I swirled my hand around the whilst he shuddered and shook. Sit yourself down and get comfy, I insisted, maneuvering him back to hover squarely over my face whilst he sucked even more wantonly. Wouldn't you just love to take the weight off these balls? Spreading his cheeks, I basked in the light of his holy vision. Oh my, I growled. I'm going to lick half your brain out. And then I dove in, bathing every crevice with spittle. His hair matted into dark wads and spikes became plastered to his fleshy purple sphincter as I drove my tongue even deeper. Pulling him open, two fingers either side, I hit the spot and he went wild, grinding down with his firm fleshy mounds, smothering me with his quivering thighs. Roughly, I heaved his buttocks up to within an inch of my face and spat into the gaping hole. Again I spat, and again, until saliva drenched his hole, then reached for the double dildo. I punctured the seat of his passion. In the instant, he cried out, "Oh, fuck! No, I didn't mean any harm, for fuck's sake. That gif was only a joke." "You fucking didn't mean it, pal," I replied with a smirk and plunged it even harder. "And now you're gonna get what you deserve." In and out, I rammed with no finesse, stretching him to bursting point whilst he pounded the ground with his fist. Throat off my cock now, he chewed the fur blanket and howled. "Take it, you old fucker," I snarled. "Yeah, love it, don't you? Yeah, you fucking love it." Working the dildo even deeper into him, I fingered my own hole with lube, with four fingers and a thumb up there stretching wide. I swiveled onto three of all fours, aiming the second bulbous end. I hit bullseye, the first time with just one backward thrust. Inching my rear end over the thick rubber truncheon, my buttocks touched the base with his buttocks. And in an instant, we were whirling our rumps like two fucking dwarvishes, bucking and slamming and crunching our tail ends together. No mercy. I yanked it out of him. I turned to leap up and around to mount his solid rump. I grabbed my cock full length inside him, skewered him like a stuffed pig. Reaching forward, I grabbed a handful of his hair and yanked his head back so that I could ride home. His soggy arse slurped as I punched in and out of his cushion glide. Next thing, a shiver ran through me and my hips were jerking all on their own. My body began to glow like warm honey was swirling through my bloodstream and with a sense of expectation. Something wonderful was about to happen, and happen it did. A handful more of these sharp stabs from my pork sword, and then I let out a yelp, shooting my full, fat, milky wad to drown his gut-wrenching squeal. I closed my eyes, but inside my lids, lightning flashed and fireworks spun into a night sky. Grunting and snaffling like a hog, he lunged backward, his ring pulsing tight. "Keep going! Keep going!" he gasped, urging me on with every rhythmic slam of his buttocks. It felt like I had emptied everything out of me from my toes to my nose, up and out into his desperate gobbling hole, basting his guts with his blistering juices. I collapsed on top of him, spent.
Chris dissolved beneath me, spreading out like a rug. "Jesus, you little bollocks," he murmured. "You sure know how to show your gratitude. That's nice." "Nice," I replied. "Nice. It's better than fucking nice. It was great. The best you'll ever fucking get, and that's for bleeding sure." He heaved a satisfying sigh and smacked his lips while still impaled on my dribbling spike. As I withdrew, still stiff as a poker, his ring hugged onto me tightly, reluctant to let me go until, with a sloppy plop, I slipped out. "Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you," I said sheepishly. Still, I couldn't resist forcing him to lick my prick clean. "Got what you wanted for Christmas, though, didn't you?" he chuckled and chewed. "I got me whole right enough," I replied, before crashing back exhausted to a heap of fur pillows. "Thanks, Daddy." He was pleased as punch. "Yeah, call me Daddy." Suddenly, I'm back on Grafton Street, bags people all around me, flat on my back in the snow. I slipped, banged my head. Woke up dazed and confused, I looked up into the laughing eyes and rosy cheeks. Chris lifted me to my feet and helped brush me down. He leaned toward my ear, whispering, "Where do you live?" "Rainla." "That's not so far. I've got me van. Come, I'll go with you." The street lamp behind his head formed a golden halo. "Let's get you home safely. Tuck you up in bread." I nodded, beginning to understand. "Come go with me," he whispered. "Just put your arm around me shoulder and hold tight." With all faltering, I obeyed and felt like a robin might feel, being held in the wind. Presently, I'm in bed. My bed. Head back on feather pillows. Firm mattress beneath me. Duvet around me cuddling my naked body. My clothes in a heap alongside the delicious recollection of being stripped bare. A crackling fire in one corner and above me, silhouetted in the blaze, a mountain of a man. No fantasy figure, this, but flesh and blood. My own Santa, a rugby coach from County Kildare. Up in the big city to fundraise for his local team. I'd already made one donation, and I planned on plenty more before the night was through. I rubbed my sleepy eyes and heard murmuring noises still. Then twinkling eyes and a shimmering phallus. "I'm fucking mad into you. Fucking mad into you," he whispered hoarsely. And with a final flick of the wrist, the daddy of all Father Christmases emptied his teeming sackful into my open mouth.
Story 3, Snowstorm, by James G. Richardson. Read by Gary. From Bear Issue 48, published February 1998.
As I looked out at the serene view beyond the frost-tinted window panes, huge gray storm clouds dominated the horizon where a beautiful sunset would normally be. Large, heavy snowflakes silently fell on the brush surrounding the cabin. You could barely distinguish the line of the mountains in the distance. It was a beautiful winter day. The smell of fresh baked bread and sweet potato pie in the oven filled the great room. The fire in the hearth roared wildly at times as the wicked winter wind swept across the top of the chimney, drawing the flames higher. As I turned to check on dinner, I could see that the large black cast iron kettle of stew had finally come to a slow simmer, and at the edge of the roaring blaze, neatly lined on a spit, several rabbits were roasting to a beautiful golden brown. All was well, and he was due home soon. Time had passed so slowly that quiet winter afternoon while I tended to my chores. The sound of the wind-up clock was my only diversion. Its loud movement created a steady cadence with its click, 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 while I kneaded the bread and prepped the food for the evening meal. As the day grew darker, I lit several of the oil lamps around the room. The bright, golden glow from the lamps blended with the multicolored flames from the fireplace, casting large, wild shadows that danced across the walls and flickered across the large bed. The numerous pillows, furs, and quilts were still a tangled mess from the last sweaty sexual romp of the morning. Those memories are still rolling about in my head. I was setting the table for supper when I heard a faint, familiar sound coming closer to the cabin. It was the sound of snowshoes passing across a crisp crust of snow. It grew in intensity and then stopped. The door to the cabin swung open with a loud crash, and lumbering through the door in a whirlwind of snowflakes was Storm in all his glory. He had his snowshoes and bow in one hand, a large rabbit and today's quarry of several fowl in the other. Storm definitely fit the stereotype of a French-Canadian fur trapper, his deep blue eyes peering at me intensely from under his rabbit fur-lined hat, dark wavy hair circling his handsome wind-burned face. He was draped with animal furs and wore heavy wool pants, mukluks, and a buckskin coat. His thick, well-manicured beard was crusted with snow, and he had several small icicles clinging to his dense, dark mustache where it curled around his furry smile. "Is supper ready?" he panted, his thick chest moving up and down in a heavy cadence. He sounded like he was out of breath and looked totally exhausted. Storm shifted his burly 6-foot frame, looking for a place to rid himself of the items he was holding. Finally deciding to place them by the door, he turned and pulled me into his powerful embrace for a long kiss. My heart began to race, and the passion roared in my ears again as he pressed his furry yet cold lips to mine, and then pushed me back. "Stay," was all he said. He was breathing heavily as he slowly removed the thick layers of fur and then his coat. The sheer mass of his husky frame and the muscles he had packed onto it soon became more defined as the layers of fur and clothing fell to the floor. He started to remove his red and black flannel shirt, revealing the top of the red union suit lying underneath. I had watched quietly, waiting for it to finally start appearing, and then he turned away. My tongue was about as hard as my cock by now, and I was panting, silently begging to be able to see him uncover the bright red cloth. He stood there smiling, a wicked grin over his shoulder, at me as he continued to undo the buttons down the front of his shirt. I groaned. He smiled. Storm knew I had a red union suit fetish, and what he was doing was driving me fucking nuts. I wanted to watch as he slowly undid the buttons, revealing his muscular, bright red, cotton-covered furry torso. Finally, I heard the unmistakable sound of a zipper, slowly turning toward me, standing with his hands on his hips, his pants pushed down to his knees, crotch pushed playfully forward, he said, "Come over here and take off my boots." I moved quickly to him, putting one of my hands on his massive shoulder as a point of balance. I slowly nuzzled my head in to kiss and lick him on the throat. The salty sweat, mixed in with the stubble of his unshaven neck, coarsely greeting my tongue, made me tremble in ecstasy. I moved my hungry lips around to catch all the sweet flavor. Putting his hand on the back of my neck, Storm guided me down slowly toward his chest and crotch. The red fabric was straining to cover the heavy slabs of hard muscle underneath, and dark fur was sticking out between the buttons, pouring over the top of his neckline. I placed my other hand on his small beer belly. I rubbed the cloth across his furry stomach lightly as I worked my hot, wet tongue down the front of the warm, salty, sweaty underwear. I moved to rub my head into his crotch after I unfastened each button, working harder as I moved lower and lower. I finally managed to unveil a thick, muscular chest covered in sweat-matted dark fur. When I stopped licking him just above his bulging crotch, his body shook and he let out a low, deep groan. He was really enjoying the tension. It made his hard cock jump and pulse with every heartbeat, creating a spot of wet with pre-cum that could no longer be ignored. Storm rubbed his furry chest with his hands as he moved them underneath the red fabric. He then slowly pulled his thick cock out of the confines of the red material. The sharp contrast between his dark pubic patch and the red of his union suit outlined the pink and blue of his large, hard dick, making Storm's throbbing cock seem even larger than it already was. Storm grabbed a handful of my hair, slammed my mouth open onto the wet spot, and hissed, "Suck it dry!" I sat on my haunches, and using my lips, I finally got the cloth into my mouth and sucked on it for all it was worth. Finally, satisfied at my efforts, he slammed my head between his legs. "Boots!" he barked, his hard dick bouncing on the back of my head from the force of the command. I started to unlace the tall, fur-covered mucklucks as he finished removing his plaid shirt. The movement of his upper body made the fur on his balls scratch my neck as they started a slow, back-and-forth motion, making my concentration difficult. Finally, the boots were undone, and the balance in the situation had turned to where Storm was leaning on me, each of his furry paws grabbing a shoulder for support as he stepped out of his boots. Moving swiftly to catch his full scent as I removed each boot, I removed his socks and licked his smelly feet with all the saliva I could muster. Between grunting appreciation and the way his hard cock was bouncing around, I knew what I was doing was having the desired effect. Storm grabbed me under my arms and pulled me to my feet, darting back and forth playfully. "Go for it," Storm said, and I started the erotic ritual of slowly pulling the sweaty red cloth from his matted furry body. My tongue moved across his hard nipples, each nestled in a whirl of dark, matted fur, rank with salty sweat. I pushed him away, catching his arms behind him in an impromptu sort of bondage, my hot tongue moving across my private playland, while Storm's hard cock oozed pre-cum down my leg. I was allowed to have my way with him for a minute or two, but he strained hard to get back in control of the situation. Soon I freed one arm from its red sheath, then the other. Holding Storm's arms high in the air, I slavered my tongue around his pits until my face was fully impregnated with his salty taste and man scent. I turned him around and began to lick his furry, tight ass until all the fur there was matted down as well. I finished taking the union suit off of him by following the cloth down his legs with my tongue, massaging his wonderfully thick and furry thighs and calves with my mouth. Storm moved over to the dry sink and started to sponge his face and body. I moved closer to him and whispered, "Supper is ready when you are, Storm." I turned my attention to how the shadows licked across his body as I had just done, and how wonderfully sexy this man was. "I'll eat now," was his response. This was going to be a fine supper, I thought to myself as I moved to the hearth and started placing the meal on the table. Storm was still damp from the sponge bath as he moved to take his place at the table, the candlelight making his wet, dark fur look even thicker than it was. As he moved his heavily muscled body through the room, the shadows he created showed a large man's body with an enormous cock swinging freely. He sat completely nude at the head of the table facing the fire, with his furry thighs wide open, cock dangling over the edge of the chair. Finally, he called me to the table. "Take your place!" I slowly moved closer to him. We kissed, and I took my place under the table, my head firmly placed between his massive thighs, my mouth sucking on his tasty cock. I started sucking slowly at first, moving down. I licked on his balls as he continued to eat. For a short time, he even moved down in his chair far enough that I could shove my tongue deep in his tight, furry asshole, basically fucking his ass with my long, stiff tongue. He was extremely hungry that night, and he took his time eating. My jaw was getting sore as he devoured two bowls of stew, a rabbit, a bottle of wine, and the rest of his meal. I brought him close to climax twice, but Storm jerked my head away from his cock at the last moment. He had me by the hair, holding me back from his large cock as it pulsed hard in the firelight. He waited until the pressure of near orgasm subsided, and then I was allowed to resume my attentions. He was hard for the third time, ready to shoot when he barked, "Wait for dessert!" His hard cock expanding deep into my throat as he made his order heard. I hustled to get up to serve him his warm sweet potato pie. When I returned, he was standing by the fireplace, holding a snifter of cognac, his long, semi-hard cock wagging between his massive furry thighs. Impatient as usual, I handed him the plate and went back to sucking his cock. Storm preferred to stand while having his dessert and a good cigar. My dessert was him. He would slowly eat his pie as he shoved his fat cock down my throat. He would stir his cognac with his dick and force-feed me the long, hard tube until I choked. All the while, he would smoke a fat cigar and direct me in how he wanted me to lick his body, his asshole, and his cock. The smell, the taste, and the sights were all mixing inside of my head until I was about ready to shoot just from the sheer excitement. "You may touch yourself now," Storm said, and I would start pounding furiously at my aching cock while he would shove his long cock to the deepest point I could take it. Finally, he pulled his fat cock out of my mouth and began pounding his own cock, his hand sliding up and down the long, hard shaft, and then he screamed, "Ah!" and "Fuck! Ah! Ah! I'm coming! I'm coming!" staring at me with a look of deep lust in his blue eyes. "I'm coming, motherfucker!" And the flood of jizz would start. He squirted onto my face, on my chest, in my hair, into my beard, and finally let his cock come to rest in my mouth, where I would suck the final drops out of the pulsing monster, the sweet taste of cum trailing down my throat, licking and slurping my way across every inch of his fat dick until he made me stop. Storm collapsed onto the bed, reposing in a snarl of pillows, fur, and firelight, a sweat-covered muscular mountain of a man, his large cock making a huge shadow on the wall, slowly losing some of its size as the blood drained out of it. I moved to take advantage of the silent moment, placing my ear over the place where his pounding heart created a cadence from all of the adrenaline coursing through his body. I soon heard the telltale sign of snoring coming from his heaving chest. I rose, placed the covers over the sleeping giant of a man, and moved to the kitchen to have my dinner and clean up after the meal. I crawled into bed, trying to make as little movement as possible. Most of the time, I still managed to wake him up, and he would move to one side of the bed, fluff up a pillow, and beckon me to crawl in. I never felt as safe and secure as I did there in the dark, under the safety of his furry, massive arm, as he pulled me back, tightly against his warm body and firm cock. I looked across the moonlit room and saw the snowshoes propped against the wall. It truly had been a perfect evening at the cabin.
You have been listening to a Cubs Out Loud Holiday Storytime, presented by COL Media. Bearable hopes you have enjoyed this program.